All right, guys, good morning. If I can grab your attention up here at the front. Hey, let me welcome you back to the last week of this six-week study together. Man, what an awesome time we've had over the course of these Thursdays, and I'm glad you're with us. I've seen a couple guys go for round two on the kolache, so don't feel ashamed to get up and go back and grab some more if you need some to finish things off. Here's what this morning is all about. We want to spend some time this morning taking a look back on where we've come from in this journey, and a look ahead at where we're going next. And you're going to help me do that, because part of what we're going to do this morning is not just start off by reading some of the cards at our tables and taking a moment to pray for those men behind the cards, just like we've done each week. But once I'm done doing some of my teaching time, I'm going to give you the chance to share. And I want you to know that now so you can start thinking about what might be on your heart to share with the group. Here's the basic question that I'm going to ask you in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, is just simply, what has the Lord done in your life over this season? Has there been a breakthrough? Has there been something significant that's happened that you'd be willing to just stand up and share with the group? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to put pressure on you, but I don't want you to be caught off guard. I know it's early, still getting the engines running. I want to give you some time to think ahead about, is there something that the Lord has been working on your heart about that you'd want to celebrate with the rest of us? Challenge the rest of us, encourage the rest of us. So I just want you to see that and know that's coming down the pipeline so you can be ready for it at that time. So in the same way we've done the last few weeks, we've got cards sitting on the table. And there may be one, there might even be more than one. We had some additional ones. And so however many cards are on your table, I'd love for us to just go through the room and have somebody at your table stand up and read that middle section. If someone really knew me, they would know that. And then let's hear those burdens that the men of our church are carrying. And once we work our way from the front to the back, I'd like to have you take some time to pray for those guys on your card at your table, and then we'll get ourselves started after that. So let's stand up and share those now. So before we turn our attention to pray, I just want to ask you, if over the course of these past few weeks, if your card has been one of the cards read, I mean, obviously, we won't know which one it was, right? So you don't have to wonder about if I raise my hand, is somebody going to know? I'd just love to see, by show of hands, how many of you in this room had your card read at some point during this 6 weeks? So can you raise your hand? Okay, take a second and look around this room, guys. Remember the types of things we've been reading. You can put your hands down. This isn't a problem out in our community. It's not a challenge with the men in the larger body of our church. This is us, and that's why we're here. And I don't want you to lose sight of that there's a face behind every card. There's a broken heart behind every mask. Let's take a minute to around your table. Just pray for those men that are on your cards, and we'll pick back up here in just a moment. All right, guys, I'm going to call you back if you wrap up your prayers. So imagine this chart, if you were here week one, may look familiar to you. And I'm going to give us a little pop quiz this morning. I'm not going to be the one to fill this chart in. Y'all are going to help me do it. Remember what we talked about when we were at Stakeout. We talked about the four failures every man fears. And we saw them here on this left side: approval, anxiety, addiction, adversity. And in week one, when we were together, what we discovered is the underlying ingredients for each of these. And I'm going to have you help me fill in the boxes just so that we can see them all one more time side by side with each other. So when it comes to approval, this desire to be affirmed and approved by others, what did we talk about as the underlying fear? Say it louder if you know it. Man, that's right. And as a result of that fear, what's the feeling it can lead to? Louder. There we go. And what over time becomes my identity if this is the failure I fear? Praise. There you go. I live off the praise of others. And does anybody remember the gospel truth that we counterbalance that with in week one? Galatians 1:10. Nice. Okay, we're doing good. Anxiety, what is that underlying fear? The future. That's right. And when that fear of the future grips me, what's the feeling I'm overcome with? Instability. Nothing around me seems stable. Everything is unsettled. And as a result, over time, my identity now becomes what? My problems. Those are what define me. That's how I perceive the world. And the gospel truth that counteracts that? Matthew 6, 31 to 34. There it is. Now, we moved on to addiction. And what is our fear that underlines that? The present. Whatever's happening in my life that makes me feel out of control, that causes me to turn to those areas of escape. And that fear of the present produces what kind of feeling in us?
Insecurity.
Yeah, we don't feel secure in the moment, and so we go to those places where we can find security, and over time, our identity becomes our pleasure. We are constantly seeking after those things that will satisfy us and give us escape, and the gospel truth that counteracts that is? 1 Corinthians 6:12-20. All right, and last but not least, adversity. What's our fear when it comes to adversity? The past, yes, that those things that have happened, the wounds that we carry, would it even affect us today? And those wounds bring about what type of feeling?
Inevitability.
Here we go again. That as a result of those, you never know when they're going to pop back up. You never know when it's going to hit you, when your past is going to affect your present or undermine your future. And now our identity becomes what? Our pain. And what we talked about is the gospel truth that fights against that is what? A little bit louder. John 16:33. Take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. I want you to grab your Bible and turn with me to 1 Peter 4:7. And what I want you to see this morning is that these four failures that every man fears, whether you wrestle with one of them or all of them or something in between, function like a spiritual equation in our hearts. So we've got this equation laid out. Approval plus anxiety plus addiction plus adversity equals what? That's what I want us to focus on this morning. When we take these failures that we fear and we add them together cumulatively in our life, the most common thing that they result in is apathy, a disengagement, a sense of, you know what, this is terrible, but I don't care enough to do anything about it. There's that sort of dimension that results in a contentment in our current situation where the cost of change isn't worth it. Why bother? It's not going to work, or that would be too hard. I don't feel as if I want to do it. What happens is we can move from, I don't know what my situation is, to now we've been in this 6 weeks together, and we've seen it, and the danger is we could walk out of here this last week and be able to say no longer that I don't know what's going on in my heart, but the danger would be that we'd walk out of here saying, I don't care. That apathy, that sense of contentment with less than God's design for us. And what you're going to find this morning is as we read 1 Peter 4:7, there is a similar reality underlying this result of apathy, that the fear beneath it is that a failure. I mean, that's what we've been talking about this whole time, is the failures every man fears. And the reason we're pulled towards apathy is because we know if we go all in to change it, if we do whatever it takes to get it right, what if we end up right back in the same spot? What if it ends up even worse than that? Is the effort worth it? And so what happens is that feeling that we have about the fear of failure, the reality of, I've been there before. I've tried to do things differently, and I'm right back to where I was, what can happen is it generates over time feelings in your heart of indifference. That shrug of the shoulders, that general sense of, what difference does it make? Things are working out fine enough as it is. There is this lack of commitment to things, a lack of intensity. And what happens is over time, when patterns of indifference take root in your heart, the identity that it leads to is that of passivity. I'm not leading. I'm not stepping up. I'm not moving forward. I'm not committed to do whatever it takes. I'm just passive. It is what it is. I'm making the best of what I can. And what I want you to notice this morning, in the brief time we're going to do this, is that 1 Peter 4:7 is the gospel truth that fights against that for us. So look back at your Bible. You should already be there by now. And just notice this one verse that Peter shares with us. He says this, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." There it is. Peter is confronting us in our apathy. And the way that he's confronting us in our apathy is pointing us to the urgency of the moment that we live in. Do you see the way he starts the verse? He tells us the end of all things is at hand. That time is near. There is a day coming, and it's coming soon, where all things will be made new. And for many of us, we grew up in athletics. We've been around sports all our life. At the end of a game, you change the way you play. You leave it all out on the field. You're not holding anything else back. You don't want to come to the end with anything left in the tank. I know you look at me and you don't think that you're staring at a marathon runner, but you would be wrong. I know this dad bod betrays the reality that I don't have a whole lot of athletic ability left, but I had a friend of mine a few years ago say, "Hey, let's go run a marathon together." And in a moment of weakness, I committed to do it. And it wasn't because I wanted to run a marathon, it's because I wanted to have run a marathon. You see the difference? Like, I wanted to be able to say that I've done it, not to actually go through it. And I remember the day of the race, it was down in Huntsville, Alabama, the day before the race. It was just this perfect running weather. It's like 50s, sunny, amazing, and then overnight a cold front blew through. It's December. Woke up the next morning, temperatures in the low 30s, wind chills in the upper 20s, and I remember waiting there at the starting line, and I was looking around, and everybody's kind of sizing each other up, and you're thinking, how are they going to do? What are they going to be like? And I'm sure everybody was looking at me. I didn't have any of the running gear. I didn't have the physique that most of them had, and they were probably looking at that guy thinking, he's not going to make it. No way that guy's going to finish. And in those conditions, I wasn't so sure myself, especially once I got to about mile 5 and I'm already sucking wind and thinking, I've got a long way to go before this happens. And I remember making it to mile 18, and you remember people will talk about when you're running distance, you hit a wall. Well, that happened for me. Even to the point where we were running through this park, and there was this nice, attractive bench sitting right next to the running spot. And I literally stopped running, and I went down and sat down on the bench. And I'm sitting there looking at my life, 18 miles in. I know there's a tent right over there, a medical tent. I can go see that. Somebody will come pick me up. I can call it good. 18 miles is a great accomplishment. Nothing to be ashamed of. But I'm faced with this choice. Do I want to quit or do I want to finish? Do I want to be satisfied with where I am, or do I want to run with the end in mind? And I had to give myself a pep talk on that bench, and I got back up, and I slugged my way through the rest of it. My time won't win any awards. None of you will be impressed by my performance, but I finished. I ran the race. I followed my way through, and the reason I did it was because I fought against the pull of apathy. That constant friction, that constant drag, that constant resistance that we're facing, it's always trying to move us back towards disengagement, towards apathy. And what Peter is warning us about here is that should not be the case. The end is at hand. The final battle is coming. The end of your life may be here before you know it. You know, yesterday marked 4 months since my buddy John passed away. He didn't know that 36 years was all that he was going to get. We don't know how many days we're going to get. The end may be nearer than we think, and the question we need to wrestle with as we wrap up our time through this 6 weeks, guys, is will we fight against this apathy? Will we keep running the race with the kind of urgency that it takes? And that's what Paul is speaking there. When he says the end is at hand, notice what he says next. He says, therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded. In other words, if it's true that we're almost done and we need to finish strong, then the result of that recognition of reality is it will change the way we're living right now. Self-control, sober-minded. That we will be as one who has our bodies and our hearts under control. That we will have a sober-minded awareness of the reality that we face. That's one of the reasons we do a six-week study coming out of a stakeout experience, because there may be some people that came out of there on the mountaintop. They felt like they could finally put into words the mask they've been putting up. But that high doesn't last. It won't sustain itself unless there is this underlying commitment to self-control and being sober-minded. But notice the way he finishes this verse. He says, be self-controlled and sober-minded. Why? For the sake of your prayers. He's showing us that our spiritual life is at stake in this battle with apathy. And what the danger can be is we can come out of a time like this and think that the depth of our spiritual life depends on our discipline. I got to be more self-controlled. I got to get in the Word more. I got to be more intentional about fellowship. All those things are true. But what Peter's trying to show us this morning when it comes to the fight against apathy is that the depth of our spiritual life doesn't just depend on our discipline, but on our desperation. Our desperation. How do we fight for and thrive in a relentless urgency, a desire, a desperation? God, if you don't do this, it's not going to happen. I'm going to do whatever it takes to throw off those things that would entangle me, cause me to stumble so that I might move forward, honoring you with the kind of desperation and urgency, a hunger in our hearts for the things of God. In just a minute, I want to invite you all to open up and begin to share some things that the Lord has done in your life. And in order to do that, before I finish this portion of things, I just want you to know that this fight against apathy can't be won on your own. That's one of the problems that we face, is we think it's my problem, therefore it's my solution. But the truth of the matter is, not only does it take the Spirit of God in our hearts to help us stand firm in this fight against apathy, but it takes a band of brothers side by side together to do it. And that's why I want us to have the opportunity to hear from one another. And look, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but there may be a work that the Lord has done in your life over the last 6-7 weeks that you just feel compelled to share, maybe to challenge us, maybe to encourage us, to share about a breakthrough. I don't know what's going to happen in this season, but I want to take a few minutes, and if you're willing to share, would you mind just standing up where you're at, telling us your name, and then briefly share with us what's on your heart, and we'll spend a few minutes doing that. So it's always awkward to see who's going to start first, so if you know you're going to say something, let's just jump in. Fight the apathy of sitting down. So earlier when Weston was sharing, he's talking about, man, the 6 weeks is almost up. I wish there were six more. Well, let's talk about where we go from here and some next steps. There's a few things I want to put on your radar before we start moving towards some closing conversation and wrap up. So this study finishes today, but that doesn't mean that's all we've got to offer. As a matter of fact, if anybody's available, I know it's short notice, but there's a group of guys that are in the room that are planning to meet up this afternoon for lunch at 11:30 at the Copy Bridge that's right here next to the church. And I don't know what you've got going for lunch, if you could slip free at 11:30 or not, but I want to invite you to come and join us. It's just open lunch. I'll be there. Several of the other guys will be there. I'm just curious, by show of hands, it's not a commitment that you'll definitely come, but how many of y'all might be able to squeeze that in and make it? I just want to get a sense for how many of us we might expect. Cool, okay, maybe 15 or so guys. So we'll come, we'll hang out at the table, no agenda, but just another chance to get to know each other and to build a connection, to give you an immediate next step. Now, if you're capturing notes or you need a document on your phone, I'd encourage you to have that out so that you can follow along with some of the things that we've got coming down the pipeline. In addition to lunch at 11:30, the second thing I want you to know about is our next men's campfire will be Thursday, December 3rd. So that's the week following Thanksgiving week. How many of y'all were out at our campfire that we did last weekend? It was awesome. We had about 30 guys out there, some great worship time, powerful testimonies, some teaching, some prayer time. I just saw the Lord show up in our midst, and I want to encourage y'all to make plans. Do we know what time we're doing that, guys? 6:30 on Thursday, December 3rd. Next up, after that, let's look into the new year. So here's one of these things that is a possibility, not a certainty, and I'm going to raise it, but help you understand, just because we're going to talk about it and put it on your radar doesn't mean that we're for certain it's going to happen. But one of the things we've been talking about as a men's leadership council is what could it look like to kickstart the spring semester with a local central men's retreat. Rather than going off somewhere during COVID and staying overnight, that may not be very realistic at this period, but we could do something here. We could stay in our own homes and commit to giving a weekend together to dive in as a way to jumpstart things. So we're looking at the possibility of doing a central men's retreat right here at the church in January. And the two weekends that we're looking at are the weekend of MLK weekend, where we'd start on that Saturday and go through a portion of that time on that Monday that a lot of guys have off. I think that's the 16th through the 18th. And then we're also looking at the following weekend, where we would do a Friday into a Sunday in a more traditional weekend. And I want to get that on your radar because here's what we found. Think about the stakeout, the way that catalyzed and jump-started us into this. We think that if we can kick off the spring semester with that type of intentionality, it's hard to even imagine what the Lord might do, not just in that weekend, but setting us up for the rest of the semester. And then coming out of that, the types of things we're working on, and again, these are still undefined, is how do we enhance our engagement at the life group level to get our men involved? One of the dangers in men's ministry is we can keep manufacturing things that happen outside of the normal channels of what we do, rather than foster how to strengthen the men in our church within the normal rhythms of what happens. We want to think about how do we create outlets for you in our life groups. But then one of the other things that we've also sensed an appetite for amongst guys as this time together has gone on is the opportunity to do some one-on-one or small group discipleship and mentorship. Just a chance to pair up maybe with the guy that's older than you, that may be further along in their faith or in a similar vocation as you or life situation as you, who might invest in you. Or alternatively, maybe you've got that hunger or desire to invest in others. We want to think about some outlets to possibly do those things. And then the last thing I'll mention is there's been several times throughout the 6 weeks that a ministry called Regeneration has come up. Regeneration is basically a year-long Christ-centered recovery and discipleship program. Watermark Church up in Dallas originated it. Right now, we're taking a group of leaders in our church through it so that they can go through it, become equipped, and then be able to turn around starting in the fall of next year and be ready to expand that group and take more men and women on in our church to walk them through that. And we'll definitely have more information in the days ahead about that. Now, listen, I know that's a lot of things to take in. And outside of the lunch today and the campfire tomorrow, everything else is more potential than reality at this point. But what I want you to do right now is grab your phones, and up on the screens, Stephen's going to throw up a link right here to text. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I need all of you to grab your phones and text the word fear to that number, and here's why. When you text that, it's going to give you a text back that is going to take you to a survey. I've just put together a super short Google survey that has some information about those things, and we're going to spend the next 3 or 4 minutes. Once you text that, you'll get the link back, And I just want to give y'all time right there in your seats to fill that survey out so we can get some feedback from you about these opportunities. So text that word fear to 833-541-0502 and then spend the next few minutes taking that survey, filling it out. It'll be super simple, but it'll give us a sense of the desires of the guys in this room about what's next. Stephen, is there anything else we need to know about how that works? I mean, the text will go out.
Just make sure you type fear. I just got one that typed deer, so sure.
Well, it is deer season, I guess. There you go. Say it again. And a pro tip, when the survey pops up, if you can turn your phone sideways and landscape, it's sometimes easier to read everything. If your particular phone isn't working, don't worry about it for now. We'll try to get the survey to you some other way after the fact. But if you've got it, just take a minute. It won't take too long to fill it out, and that'll be a huge help to us in getting some feedback on things. So we'll bounce back here in just a couple minutes once y'all have the chance to do that. I feel like we need some elevator music playing while this is happening. Anybody want to sing a solo? Randy, are you up for that?
I'm doing the survey.
All right, well, if you're not quite done, feel free to keep finishing it up while I move us into the last thing we're going to do together. You can be processing through that. So here's the great thing, guys. We can get some instant feedback from you on that survey where our men's council can take that and fine-tune the plans. We want to make sure we're addressing the things that are on your heart and the ways that are helpful to you. One of the things that this will also enable us to do is once we know some plans, now those of you that have filled out the survey, we can follow up with you by text and just let you know about that and keep you informed as things go along as well. So it'll help keep you updated on what's happening. So we're going to finish our time this morning in the same way we've been finishing each week, which is just with some time around the table. And there's two things I hope you'll take some time to discuss in that group that you're sitting with. The first one would be to come back to this subject of apathy and to just spend some time talking about that. Where do you sense that pull towards apathy in your own life? How do you fight against it? What are some of the things that you wrestle with there? What are some of the items here that push you in that way, where you feel that fear of failure, you wrestle with that indifference, you're pulled towards that passivity? What's on your heart when it comes to the subject of apathy? And then the other thing I'd encourage you to take some time to talk about collectively is what are the big takeaways that you have coming out of this six-week study? What's going to be different? What are you hopeful for? And y'all feel free to take as much time as you want. It's about 7:23 right now. I'm sure some of you may have to slip out at 7:30, take off as soon as you need to. But this is our last time together in this group, guys, and I hope that you'll be intentional with these conversations. And I'm going to close this in a word of corporate prayer here in a minute and want to encourage as many of you as are able to come join us for lunch and hang out today at 11:30 at Copy Bridge. Let's pray, and then you can start your table discussions. Father, we're looking back on this season and rejoicing. We are so grateful for the way that you are helping us by the power of your Spirit to take these masks off, to open up. And I pray that this wouldn't be something that just lasts for a season, but that it would set a new trajectory for the men in this room and for our entire church, God. That we would quit the exhausting race of pretending that we are somebody that we're not, and instead that our weary souls would find rest in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray for these men as we are not meeting together over this holiday season and as we enter into the new year, God, I pray that you strengthen them, that you give them that sense of desperation, that longing to see their lives changed, and that you meet that longing with your Spirit in a way that shapes them and their families for the future. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, y'all enjoy some conversation around the table.